online may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised.
Adam Carolla. Dr. Drew.
I'm not modeling anymore for the two of you.
Bloodline.
Yeah. Bloodline, I'm Adam Carolla. It's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LVE-191. Fax number 310-854-4455. Dr. Drew is a board certified physician and addiction medicine specialist.
We're just comparing pathologies.
Oh, God.
Okay, well, hold on. Yes, yes.
I'll tell you, it's important, everybody, you all have your own pathology, meaning there's something that flips your cookie in life. Maybe you're an exhibitionist, you should be a stripper. Because if you're not an exhibitionist, if your dad didn't F with you, if your uncle didn't F with you, if you didn't get enough attention from this guy or that guy,
you don't have that.
And you're a stripper, you're going to be miserable.
That's right.
Miserable. I mean, just think about a woman who comes from a very sound, loving environment where she respects and reveres her parents, getting up on stage night after night and taking her clothes off. Painful.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's my problem.
That's the situation you're in. You're taking up stripping. I didn't know.
I'm not effed up enough to like this business. I'm tired of it. I don't like it. I know everyone says, you're doing it. Don't give me a break. I don't. I don't like being in front of the camera. I don't like talking to people. I want to get away from people. I want to go home. I want to be left alone. Leave me alone. I'll do anything to be left alone. I really will.
But you don't want to be all together. You just need a pace. You need a pace.
I could see myself doing the radio.
Radio's different, yeah.
Radio's different because that's just me and you and a bunch of a-holes listening. Well, I don't really think you're paying attention.
It's not like performing. It's like having a...
No, I don't. Yeah. I just want to be left alone.
Yeah.
I want to be left alone. I don't want to go any more parties. I don't want to talk any more kids. I don't want any... I want to be left alone.
Yeah.
I miss being left alone. Oh, I never thought I'd get to that point in my life. I was at Lake Havasu this weekend for the entire weekend. I got on a goddamn bus the second the man show stopped taping. I got in 2.5 hours ago. And it was just nothing but, frat guys wanting, chug a beer, do a shot, hey, buddy. I just want to be left alone. And you know what? I'm an a-hole, too. And listen to me. Any of you who run into me on the street and want to come up and say hi, then leave.
Not just for like a couple months, don't even say hi.
No, don't even say hi. Yeah. You're right.
Watch out. Be careful.
And listen, there's a few of you, and I've run into you, where you come up to me and you go, hey, how's it going, buddy? And I go, yeah, good. And they go, hey, buddy, let me get you in a headlock or something. I go, hey, leave me alone. And they go, oh, hey, I'm a big fan of the show. Oh, hey, I like you. You're not so cool. You know what? That doesn't break my heart at all. I don't care. I'm done. You think I'm an a-hole? Good. Screw you. Don't watch. Don't listen.
Asshole.
I don't care. Jeez, I'm going insane, Drew. I really am. I'm starting to lose it.
I just wanted you to feel better if you had a little break, you know?
Yeah, a little break, yeah. Like 6 months or something. I'm just done. I'm done talking to people. I'm done. Justin, you're on line six. What's up?
Me and my girlfriend were having sex this morning, and the condom broke. And I was wondering where to get the money after pill, how much it costs.
Where are you calling from?
Stockton.
That's California there, right, Drew?
Yep.
And can't you just go to, is there a Planned Parenthood around there?
Yeah.
No. I think that's the place to go, right?
That's the place you can go.
Okay, they all offer them?
They're a big fishbowl right at the counter. You just reach in, grab a handful.
It's interesting. We Drew.com advertised a bunch on Felicity last week, and during that was a show about the morning after pill. It opens up with Felicity, I guess, working in a family planning clinic, and a girl comes in and condom broke working at the morning after pill. The whole episode was about morning after.
Well, Felicity never gets nailed herself.
Of course not.
Yeah. I don't know what that is in TV. Whenever they delve into the tough subjects, it's never the person that's the star of the show, which
right.
You think about, if you want a vehicle to delve into the tough subjects, drugs or addiction or abortion or whatever the hell it is, why not just make the goddamn guys the star of the show have it? No, it's a guy who knows, a friend of his, because he's perfect. All right, Justin. Watch Felicity.
When did this happen?
This morning.
All right, so the sooner you get it, the more effective it's going to be, okay?
Okay, do you know how much it would cost?
I think it's about $30. in that range. And again, Planned Parenthood may be able to prorate that for you, but any doctor can get it in the emergency room. If you're in the state of Washington, you can get it without a prescription from a pharmacist. So just take advantage of this. It's something that will hopefully avoid a lot of unwanted pregnancies and abortions.
Well, how's the without a prescription work when you go into Planned Parenthood and you're not in the state of Washington?
You see somebody and they give you a prescription.
All right, so it's the same thing.
I just was announcing for people who might be in Washington.
Right, but what I mean is if you're not, if you are living in the state of Washington, you could just go into a pharmacy and buy it.
Yeah, there's a number 1-888-NOT-2, number 2, not too late. And they actually can refer you to pharmacists that would distribute.
All right.
Dispense.
Tyler.
Hey.
You're 15. What's up?
Yeah, first off, I'd like to say, Adam,
mm-hmm.
you're a god, man.
Thanks, but I'm done. I'm tired.
He's a fallen god. He's a fallen god. He's done.
I'll tell you, enjoy me. I got a little more time left in this business, and that's it.
Good night.
That'll be it.
Yeah, you and Flea. But my question basically...
Flea was the name of the bus driver I had who just drove me to Laughlin.
Oh, that's fun.
Flea from the Red Hot Chili Peppers?
Yeah, yeah. I'm a bass player, so he's basically...
Did you
and
pull
him
out?
My god.
Oh, really? Oh, thank you.
My question is, I kind of have, like, a fear of being rejected by females, and kind of a fear of commitment, too.
You're 15.
I know.
That would be age appropriate.
Yeah, everyone's scared at 15.
Of everything.
Yeah. You get older, you discover booze, and then you just don't care.
No, I don't want to get into that.
No. He's not. Oh.
Yeah.
No, go ahead.
He's not suggesting you should, but just give it some time. I wanted to say keep whacking away, but now you take off on that.
Right.
Keep slugging away, putting yourself out there, taking chances, and slowly you'll gain some skill with these things.
Okay.
All right, Tyler.
Okay, thank you.
Listen, don't think so much.
Okay.
Yeah, everyone is scared assless of women and rejection and dates. Engineer Anderson does a lot of distracting hand gestures, which would be okay for many professions, except for engineer, because I catch him out of the corner of my eye, and he's whipping his hand around like in a lasso motion, or he's going side to side with his hands, and I'm looking at him, and I'm thinking, that must mean he wants me to do something, except for it doesn't mean he wants me to do anything.
You've got to remember, he has such bad ADD. You're right. He has to remember he's not just an engineer, he's your engineer. And I just happened to see what he was doing, too. He was rubbing his eyes.
No, he was
yes,
not.
He was.
No, he was doing, yeah, that's what he was doing, you jackass.
What is that?
It's meant to distract and annoy. That's what that is.
You know what's nice, Adam? We actually have a little conspiracy going here. I'll do stuff like this, and I'll do this.
Okay, let me explain with you, though, Drew. You, when you do your incessant doodling with your marks a lot on your notepad, you can hear it over the mic.
I've been doing this a lot.
I don't mind that. You thump and bang around. Anything I can't hear, I don't care. You can move around all you want. I have a seizure for all I care over there. Just don't make so much noise about it. Chris?
Yeah.
You're 19.
Yes, I am.
What's up?
I would like to say that you guys are doing a great job, and Adam, you're not a god, but you're a deity.
That's fine.
That's a big difference, sir.
I hope you can live with that.
I don't really know the difference, but I'll go with it.
Okay. I have a question. I had sex last night, and I was using a condom, but the condom was rather large. And it lasted only 1 minute, and after about a minute, I ejaculated inside of her, but the condom had slipped about a third of the way down my penis.
Right.
And I ejaculated, and then I pulled out, and I didn't see, I don't think I saw any sperm hanging out, you know, or hanging around at the base of the penis where
the slippage had occurred.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Did the condom come off with you, though? Did you pull out?
Yeah, I pulled out and it was still on.
That's the biggest problem with the slippage, is that it slips, and then when you try to pull out, it comes off.
Right.
And then
it stayed on.
And when it comes off is when it spills its contents. So you're all right, probably.
Yeah. And, hey, Drew, what about this? Well, maybe it'd be hard to put on, but... You know, I'm sure the way the condoms are designed, they have a little bit of a sort of a snap ring at the end to sort of grab on.
Yeah,
at the very
elasticity, yeah.
Yeah. And I know there's that stuff for there's that device that helps you achieve your erection where you pump up your penis and then you snap that ring on it and it keeps the blood in
right.
your penis.
Right.
What about a condom with a little stronger snap ring at the end that would actually not only help it stay on better, but that would help...
Keep some senescence going.
Yeah, keep the erection going
that's
a little better.
That's an idea.
I mean, you couldn't put it on until you're, you know,
right.
good to go.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, wait a minute, better. Instead of... Because, see, the problem with my idea is it'd be a little hard to get on.
Yeah.
Because you'd have that thicker ring. If everyone knows what I'm talking about.
You need cinches on the bottom.
No, not, come on, Drew, stop screwing around. It's
wrong. Girlfriend.
No, I'm talking about, what about this? What about a device that is a lot like that one that I was just speaking of that's used with the vacuum device, where you pull the condom all the way over your penis, get a good erection, and then snap a little ring, like a garter,
yeah.
at the very end.
Right.
Keeps the erection longer,
yeah.
and keeps the condom from sliding yeah, off.
Interesting idea. Why not a cinching action?
What are you going to make? What is it going to do? Cat gut or something? What are you going to do with that cinching?
I'm not thinking in terms of how you actually pull it off.
It's not going to work. You end up tying your balls in a knot
okay.
underneath the thing with a sheep shank.
Nothing. How about, I was just thinking, like NFL wide receivers use on their hands?
A little stick them?
Need something to, yeah.
No, like a little pine tar on the end of your nuts.
It was on the end of the condom or somebody's rolled it down. But
yeah, but it's gonna end up getting stuck on your penis on the way up.
Yeah.
I say you take the condom, you make the end just a little bit looser so it slides right on the penis,
oh,
no problem,
oh.
and then pop, snap ring.
Oh, interesting.
Snap ring right there.
Yeah, yeah.
Every condom comes with one of these snap rings. It's literally, you know, 3 cents worth of plastic.
Listen, this is the perfect sort of beginning of the condom loader.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah,
it's a
stick shooter.
Stomp, snap, that'd be it, on.
I'm telling
right,
you, the
right?
little snap ring.
Yeah,
keep the erection going.
It would slide on and then snap.
I don't know when you're making fun of me.
No, I'm not making fun. It's a funny concept, but I think it has some...
All right, well, I don't know if the condom loader's going to sell, but the little snap ring.
Yeah, yeah.
And you'll keep an erection longer with that snap ring on there, too. John? I'd be kidding me.
Of course.
That's excellent.
Let's hang on to your phone.
Yeah. Oh, he hung up. Son of a bitch. I don't know if people look at that as an insult or not. To me, that's just flat out entertainment. I wish every other call was a toilet flushing. Alicia?
Hey, guys.
Hey, you're 17. What's up?
Yeah, I just met my dad 6 months ago.
Uh huh.
And now he wants me to move in with him.
Mm hmm.
And it just. It kind of freaks me out, because when I met him, he had just gotten out of prison.
Uh-huh. What was he in there for?
For attempted murder.
Oh, boy.
He was in there for 16 months.
16 months?
Well, 16 years, I'm sorry.
I'm
kind of nervous.
Same difference.
Oh.
I'm sure it's the same to him. 16 years, 16 months. And who was he attempting the murder?
I have no idea. It was just some guy that he got in a fight with when they were all intoxicated.
And how was his relationship with your mother?
Well, after my mom got pregnant, she's a drug addict, too. And when she
left that part out about dad, too.
Yeah. So your mother was just you were just a year old when your dad went to the pokey, right?
Yeah.
I see. How long has he been out?
For about 6 months.
Okay. Has been in there. Did you talk to him while he was in the pokey?
No.
No, you never had any contact with him?
Uh-uh.
And now he's out and he's contacted you?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. What do you think?
I don't know. It's just...
Has he been able? Could he have found you if he wanted to?
Yeah.
While he was in?
Yeah, because I've been living with my grandma and he's known her for, like, forever.
What do you think he's up to here?
I have no idea. It's weird because I'm just trying to get to know him, and then it's like he's moving too fast.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oof.
Is he sober now?
He said he's been clean off of heroin for a year in June.
Is he drinking or doing anything else?
He drinks.
Oh,
yeah. That's not good.
He's not in a program. He can't be. He's still using.
He's been clean off heroin for a year, but he's been in jail for 16 years?
Yeah.
People get heroin in jails.
Oh, yeah, I know. Yeah, there you go. Hey, Alicia?
Yeah?
Stick with your grandma. Take it slow with your dad. I wouldn't move in with him.
Okay.
You don't owe him anything. Don't let him guilt you into that. And all of that, hey, you're my blood? Nonsense. Nonsense.
You've heard how Adam talks about his blood. His blood relatives.
Yeah, screw him. Listen, if I went and banged a hooker in Nevada, and the condom broke, and then I, you know, went back to L.A., and 16 years later, there was a kid. You know what I mean? What kind of relationship would we have? Oh, what would that kid think of me? I mean, it's blood. And I don't know where everyone gets that. It's not that big a deal. It's way...
overrated.
Way overrated. You got to earn your right to be a parent.
Oh, yeah.
You really do.
Well, that's why you and I have issues about the adopted kids, something sort of forsaking their adopted parents who've raised them and loved them for 18 years.
Yeah. I got to go find a real junkie mom.
Yeah.
Let me just check the project or the flop house or the crack house. I want to see if I can scrape her off the bad rust-colored shag, tell her I love her. Yeah, that's something that's within you. That's not about your mom.
Right.
And you ain't going to fix it by finding that old hag or that a-hole who's in the can for 16 years, the junky a-hole who's in there for attempted murder.
Never the idealized individual that you conjured up in your mind.
Right.
Never that person.
Okay. Charles.
It's kind of like radio.
You're 19.
We're always a disappointment, you know.
Yeah, even to each other.
Nightly.
Charles.
What's up, man?
You're 19. What do you want?
Basically, I've been off with a girl for about a year. And I had a blind date last night, and we ended up having sex at the end of the night. The girl I had sex with was 17. My girlfriend is 16.
Yeah.
I'm 19. I'm afraid this girl I had sex with was going to go into mom because, you know, it was just a one-night thing, right?
Well,
you know.
Well, wait a minute. Why are you having blind dates when you have a girlfriend?
I don't know, man. I wanted something new. Kind of spur of the moment thing.
Well, hold on a second. I understand you cheating on your girlfriend, and maybe you're out at some dance club and you run into some chick who's drunk. But a blind date means that you guys who are set up through a mutual friend.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, it, like I said, it's kind of weird to be set up on a date when you have a girlfriend.
Ugh.
Okay.
Hey, my brother, actually.
I see. All right, hey Charles.
Well, that makes it okay, right?
I don't suspect. Did you rape her?
No.
Oh, well, that's a nice change of pace for Charles.
I'm doing a thing for MTV on Tuesday, in fact, about underage date, you know, older guys and younger girls, and this movie Jailbait they're putting out.
Who, MTV?
Yeah. I'm helping them sort of create some content for it, and it's exactly about this situation, where basically the guy who just turned 18 impregnates a girl that's still 15.
Mm-hmm.
And he's got problems. If it's more than 3 years and he's over 18, then it's a serious problem.
MTV contacted you?
Yep.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Well, that's because I went to visit them in New York. I think they remembered that we exist.
Scorn. Well, I get nauseated by all those Loveline trailers and commercials I see. I mean,
Overwhelming.
All righty.
But the point is, first of all, he's got to leave his present girlfriend. That relationship is pathetic.
Mm-hmm.
And that one has some issues about, too. He's 19. She's 16. Or 17. This one's 16, 19.
Yeah.
He's dating.
All right. He's an idiot. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah.
I don't think the 17-year-old's going to tell her parents. She went out on a date with a guy and had sex with him. Why, what's she going to brag to them about?
She gets pregnant.
All right. Don't knock anyone up, Charles. Please.
Wear a condom. Use birth control.
That's right.
Every time.
Justin.
Yeah.
You're 15. What's up?
Today, my girlfriend came over, and I performed oral sex on her.
Wow.
Yeah.
On the holiest of days. On my people's Sabbath.
Yeah, and, I had a cold sore in my mouth. I noticed it afterwards. I know that she doesn't have anything, but I want to know if I can give anything to her from that.
Yeah, you can give her herpes, sure.
Oh,
try not to use the S word, Justin. You have a cold sore in your mouth?
Yeah.
You're not necessarily going to pass it, but you could.
How much of a chance is there?
28-29%.
There's no number we can give you.
All right. Just don't do it again.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, thanks.
Yeah, you're 15.
Yeah.
I never got closer than 9 feet from a vagina at 15. I couldn't imagine having my face stuffed in one. You hear that laugh?
Yeah.
Count Dracula. I'm, wah! Boris Karloff. All right, Justin.
All right.
Hey, listen, I don't know where you go. You see, on one hand, I'm envious of you. On the other hand, I feel sorry for you. You're 15. You're going down on chicks. Where do you go from there? Where do you go? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Are you getting oral sex from her?
Yeah.
Oh, son of a bitch. Son of a bitch. All right, Justin.
All right.
Yeah. Enjoy.
Maybe there could be a flip side of this. Maybe if you were engaged in that behavior when you were 14, 15, 16, when it became the Holy Grail,
mm-hmm.
you wouldn't continue to have such an etched-in preoccupation.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It could have become like, oh, well, now I'm on to something else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah. I'm with you. I believe it's that way with everyone. I was talking to someone, and we've talked about this a few times, how my mom, with her health food nut crap, turned me into a madman with the food, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, it backfires.
Yeah.
You deny your kids something, and they want it that much more.
I wonder if this is where all the anal sex stuff is coming from. That they're just up in the ante. They're all used to this at 15.
Oh, yeah.
At 23, it's, now what?
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
I mean, listen.
Oh, that too.
When you're...
Where did that come from?
Well, Drew, I've said it 1,000 times. I mean, when you're 13 years old, you have full access to the Internet. You're watching double penetrations and gangbangs and this kind of thing at 13. Then you're 15. You're getting a Hummer from your girlfriend every weekend. You're going down on her. Now you're 17 and a half, 18. Where do you go? I mean, it's time for cornholing. Which is going to be the name of a Saturday morning show I'm working at. It's time for cornhole and everyone get their hole. Yeah, like a guy with a banjo. I'm going to work the beats out on this during the commercial.
I want to hear this.
Chris is... Time for cornhole. All right. We'll take ourselves a little break, and we'll be back after this. Thanks for the offering, Anderson. Phone number for Loveline, 1-800-LOVE-191. Fax number 310-854-4455. Yeah, it's Dr. Drew over there. I'm Adam Kroll over here. We're just speaking during the break about missing our native professions.
Yeah, it's like we're getting so involved in this stuff that we have to be careful to protect what we really are.
Yes, a carpenter, and you're my lady.
I'm the lady.
Oh, I mean physician, that's right. Chris?
Yeah?
You're 15.
Yeah, I am.
All right. You want to ask a girl out.
Yep.
But whenever you get close to her, you get an erection.
Yeah, it's real embarrassing.
Yeah. Let me say this. I've said it a few times on this show, but lads, if you put on some of those 501 Levi's, especially the new hard ones, thick denim ones,
yeah.
And you put a nice pair of underpants on,
yeah.
The erection is not going to be a big problem.
Unless they have some extraordinary anatomic problem.
Which Chris doesn't have.
No.
What are you wearing, surgical scrubs and no underpants?
No, I just usually wear boxers.
Yeah, boxers don't slow you down much.
Okay.
You got to get yourself, you got to get some briefs.
Some what?
Briefs.
And then heavy pants.
Butt huggers, ball nuggers.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah. I suggest all guys do. I don't know where you get this boxer thing. Here's the problem with the boxer. Penis comes right out of the fly.
Yeah.
I've tried to wear boxers
and then he rolls off on the pants.
On a couple of occasions. I've attempted to wear boxers a few times. The fly hangs open on boxers, or at least any boxer I've ever put on.
Most guys, the penis hangs down below that, you see.
You got to hike them up a little. If the thing gets down, I know you're trying to weave a subtle insult to this, but let me tell you something. I've said it 100 times. I have a fine gym. My penis looks good at the gym. When it's hanging.
That's a new sitcom you're working on?
Jim Conestine. No, really. Bill Kirkenbauer is Jim Dick.
Plays by his own rules.
He plays by his own rules. No, my penis hangs fine, but it will come out, especially if you get any kind of wood down there at all. It will pop right out of that fly. And the next thing about boxers is they're up the ass in a matter of moments. And one leg is coming up higher than the other, and then the backside is hanging out. It's way too high a price to pay for cool. I can't imagine them being more comfortable. My feeling with boxers is, why bother with the underpants?
Yeah.
If you're going to wear, to me, wearing boxers is like wearing a pair of shorts under your pants, and why bother? Just don't wear.
Yeah.
Just free ball. Don't wear anything underneath there. Now, you want to know what a nice alternative is? Midways. You ever see those midways?
No.
Midway is, it's a boxer. It's as long as a boxer, but it's tight, like a brief.
Oh, that's what I wear. You gave me grief for that.
Almost like a cycling short.
Yeah.
No, I didn't give you grief for that.
Yeah, you did.
I gave you kudos.
No, you said those are expensive.
Oh, yeah, they're $20 a pop. Yeah. All right, but don't worry.
That's what I wear, absolutely.
I wear them 3-4 days in a row. I get my money out of them. Scotty?
Hey, first off, Girls on Trampoline, love that, Adam.
Thank you.
Dr. Drew, love being in your chat rooms.
Thank you. This is my Scotty?
This is your Scotty.
Oh, my God.
You're 25, Scotty. What do you mean you're Scotty?
Scotty went the University of Oregon, which you missed.
Right.
Scotty was somebody from the chat room at Dr.com who met me there and helped me survive that event.
Yay, Scotty.
How dare you?
Now, what do you want, Scotty?
Well, here's the situation. I've been on Zoloft for depression. Life was pretty good. So I started working out a lot to lose some weight so I could go skydiving.
Mm-hmm.
And the more exercise I did...
You broke your leg or something, right?
Yeah, I broke my leg skydiving.
I was chatting with Scotty the other day.
Yeah, and it kind of... I forgot to pull the speed brakes. Whoops. But it's just like the more exercise I do or the better shape I get in, the darker everything gets. And
you know,
that concerned me.
I wonder if that's a function of what the weight has meant to you. And what you've used that for, whether you've sort of kept people away or...
Oh, I'm good at keeping people away.
But I mean, maybe it has more of a symbolic meaning for you, and now that you're changing, and you're actually becoming a different person, quite literally physically, it's triggering some feelings you weren't prepared for.
It's possible, but it's excellent. I'm sabotaging myself now at every step.
Right.
I'm eating, I'm pushing people away.
Yep. That's my next plan, too, Scotty.
I'm sorry?
Next plan.
I'm going to shift that plan into high gear soon.
Hey, and Adam?
Hmm.
Should have been there at the university in Corvallis because the American basketball female squad was there.
Oh, great. I missed those lesbians.
Anyway, thanks.
I tried to, Scotty. I was on a plane, and I had to get off the plane. Wasn't that trip?
Yep. Yeah.
Now, let me tell you the beauty of me, everybody.
That was it.
Not a lot of tears and long goodbyes. They got me off that plane. I said, good. I got right back in a car and I drove right home. I couldn't, everyone thought that I did it on purpose.
No, everyone thought you didn't try hard enough to get up there.
Yeah.
They realized exactly that as soon as you realized there was a slight barrier, you'd go, sorry, can't make it.
Well, listen, everybody, it is true that I don't want to do anything. I'll be straight up with you. I mean, if the power went out right now at this radio station, I'd jump up, click my heels together, be in my car in 10 seconds, and be driving home laughing like a hyena. I really don't like to do stuff, but I do not like to be accused of being unprofessional or ducking things. The plane was delayed. I got off the plane. I went to the thing. I said, are there any more flights going to this area and any possible this time? Nope. And then?
That was it.
I laughed like a hyena, got in a cab, and drove home. Yeah, fantastic. Emily.
Yes.
You're 22.
I am.
What's up?
Well, I was wondering if it's possible for a guy to have an orgasm without ejaculation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A few ways. Why? What's happening there?
Well, my boyfriend occasionally has an orgasm without ejaculation, and in fact, it wasn't until me that he would really have orgasm at all.
Whoa. You mean he couldn't have one at all?
Right. He had very few in his life with females.
By himself?
Yeah, by himself. He can orgasm.
Is that because he'd been with very few females, or because...
Well, that and, his dad's pretty abusive, and so he thinks that it probably had a lot to do with control and not being able to relax.
Yeah.
And so,
okay.
You know, we have, like, a really great relationship, except that, you know, I just really didn't know. I mean, it's kind of hard to, you know.
I can see multiple possibilities here. One is that he's not really having an orgasm, but sort of faking.
Yeah.
Two, he might be in retrograde ejaculation, but that would be medication. Is that medication?
That's where the semen goes into someone else's ass?
Yeah. It can't. Is he on any medication?
No.
Another would be that he masturbates so much that he's sort of depleted.
I doubt it.
Well, I don't know. The guy was abused. Maybe he's a little addicted to the masturbation.
Oh, no. I mean, he just really wouldn't have time because he works and goes to school and we live together.
Yeah.
So.
Believe me. Guys find time for that, strangely.
I can peel one off between the garage and the mailbox if I'm pressed for time. I really can while I'm walking.
But, I mean, is it like a... Well, I just don't know if it's really a big
deal. All right. Well, maybe he should go to a urologist or somebody to check out.
No, I don't think it's a big deal.
Okay.
All right. You're fine.
Thanks.
There you go.
Bye.
All right. Listen, I wish nothing came out of me when I had an orgasm.
Well, you almost get to that point, don't you?
Yeah, but it's really only number 13 or 14. And it's
still powder.
It's a tough push. But, yeah, I really, it's like the smokeless ashtray. You know what I mean? It's, hey, no mess. I like that. That'd be great. Fantastic. Brian?
Oh, I
could let someone do my laundry, by the way. Let me tell you, I don't want to get, well, okay, I'll get a little bit candid here. I got a maid comes to my house on Mondays. I, as I was complaining to you off the air, Drew, have been home so little over the last couple of months, especially over the last couple of weeks, I have no more clean clothes, socks, underwear, all gone. And I got a lot of underwear and a lot of socks, and I went through all of them. I haven't done laundry in weeks, and I just don't have a couple hours to dedicate to laundry. And people keep volunteering. Yeah, I'll do it. I'll swing by and help you out. My maid is like, yeah, let me do the laundry. My laundry is such a mess. I mean, it is
embarrassing.
So embarrassing. It's so humiliating.
It's because you've been spraying all over
them. I use that laundry like that.
Oh, sponge.
Mop. Squeegee, you know. I mean, it's a disaster, that stuff.
Oh, my God.
And not only for the semen, just for anything that comes out of me. I'll wipe my ass, I'll blow my nose into that thing. I mean, it is a disaster.
That is disgusting.
It is, you know, it's like medical waste.
Does it all stick together? It's like a block of clothes?
It's hard to get stuff apart.
Yeah.
You have to, like, break stuff off.
Oh.
I have a few pairs of black underpants that just... It just looked like an Easter egg. Just a mess. And it's like hash marks everywhere. I mean, there could be blood in places. You know, if I'm like shaving and I nick myself and I'm bleeding, I'll grab a sock out of the hamper and, you know, blot myself. I mean, it is not.
It's a public health hazard.
Oh, it is.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, yeah, you wouldn't let kids play around it.
I'm really concerned. There could be runoff from it, too. The water supply could be damaged.
Yeah, I could screw up the water table if I bury it out in the yard.
Oh, but you don't bury it.
Yeah. Yeah, a hazmat team will bring it into the lab. But my point is I will not let anyone do it because I fear for them and I fear for my dignity, what little I have left. So I won't let anyone do it, yet I'm never home, so I never do it. So it's a disaster. I'm wearing the same pair of underpants for the last week and a half.
Thus, we were back to the what do you call those kinds of underwear?
Midway.
Okay.
Yeah. Brian.
Yeah, I was wondering about the long-term effects of DXM, the active ingredient in that.
Dextromethorphan.
Hydrobromide, yeah.
Yeah, you remember dextromethorphan was a big deal, like dextromethorphan in the cough syrup?
Yeah.
Now they don't want anybody to know that because kids abuse it like hell. And it causes hallucinations. I have not seen a long-term effect from it. And however, have I seen somebody using that primarily as their drug. So it's hard to tell what's going on because it's usually with pot, with LSD, with other things.
Okay.
Is that you?
Well, three times I drank about 700 milligrams.
I'm worried more about the other things in the cough syrup causing kidney failure and strokes, heart attacks.
I made really sure that was the only active ingredient. There's a couple that only have DXM.
Mm-hmm. 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 How much is 750?
That'd be like 8 ounces of cough syrup.
Wow, and those things come in what, 4 ounce, 6 ounce?
You can get an 8 ounce bottle for like $8.
All right, that's a pretty cheap price.
What happened to you when you took it?
Really, really confused. Kind of like when you just wake up.
Yeah, see, it's more, I understand, right, it's more of a delirium you get from that. And
Yeah, but I mean, it was...
It's not a good thing, not a good thing.
Okay.
But it doesn't seem to have the same reliably destructive effects that LSD and ecstasy.
Okay, so it doesn't use up serotonin?
Again, I worry that it might. I don't know evidence that it does. It seems to be a sort of a, I have to study it more now for sure, but I understand it's more of a delirium as a side effect rather than a primary effect of hallucinogenic, which is those that cause the serotonin destruction.
Well, listen, there's no free rides. Or free lunches, as my partner would say. That's if right. You're getting effed up off it, it's effing you up. I don't know if it's effing you up as bad as other things, but I mean, that's really what people are looking for in a drug. Isn't it true?
Yeah.
The whole, here's the scale. How badly can I get effed up as opposed to how badly is this effing me up? And some don't have a good ratio.
Right.
Others might have a better ratio, like mushrooms. I can get really, really effed up on mushrooms, and as far as we know, they're not really effing me up.
As bad as LSD or ecstasy.
Yeah, that's the key, whereas ecstasy may be a little worse ratio there. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll speak to Cindy, who's 17, thinks she's a boy trapped in a girl's body. We never get this one.
No.
It's always a guy trapped in a woman. You know what I'm saying.
I'm going to be at Dr.com chat room, college chat room. If you want to give us any questions, I'll pull them out of there.
All right, I'm going to be peeing after this. This is Adam Carolla.
This is Dr. Drew.
And you're listening to Loveline on the Zone 105.
Yep.
See, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Drew. Drew?
Yeah, so far the only comment I've gotten off the website is for you to do Tim the Russian Rapper.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's an explicit call to this, so.
All right, let me make a note of that. I'm going to make myself a little note.
Here's one for me. What's the probability of getting alcoholism if my dad is an alcoholic? It's about 50%. About half the kids get the gene, half don't. But the fact that you inherit the gene doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to get the disease.
Yeah. It could manifest itself in a different way.
Right.
It could be a gambling addiction, thrill-seeking.
Yeah, or you could just have that thrill-seeking sort of tendency, but not develop into a little pathological direction.
Right. Okay.
So, Tim, you going to do Tim today?
Yeah.
Good. I wrote it down.
All right, don't monkey with that thing.
That's right. He's making me close the computer.
Cindy?
Yeah?
You're 17?
Yeah.
You think you're a boy trapped inside a woman's body?
Yes, I am so scared. My heart beating is so fast right now.
What makes you think that?
Right now, my heart's beating fast. All right. I judge girls a lot. I don't know why. Like, I guess I hang out with guys, like a lot of guys only, you know. I don't really have that many girlfriends. And the reason why I think I hang out with a lot of guys is because I have no father figure. I have no idea. It's just...
All right. Would you like to become a man?
No, I don't want to have a sex change.
Hold on a second. See?
Yeah.
You can't find any women who want to be
gay. Well, actually, I have met a couple. They long ago, we had a couple of female to male, and they look male.
Oh,
yeah.
And now, do they still have to die 7 years earlier?
The testosterone seems to be a large part of what makes guys do that.
And I think it's the work.
And it's the work and the stress and everything.
Well, look at it this way. I mean, I really look at the human body as like an automobile. You drive it hard, you just drive it into the ground. You just press it, burn it, you drive it.
We had dinner at Dunstan, and my wife and I was another triplet parent couple. And boy, the moms just get their soul sucked right out of them.
With the triplet?
Yeah, and kids do that to mom. You don't really take that kind of stress into account. I mean, why doesn't that cause them to die younger? Because it's insane the way kids...
Yeah.
You could just drain the life right out of mom.
Seriously. Yeah, just they kill you, those kids. Yeah, the devil. Devil children. Thank God my parents had already been depleted of their life force before I was born. My parents were smart. They're like, I'll be goddamned if these kids are going to suck the life out of us. I'll tell you what, let's lose our will to live now, and then we'll have kids. And there'll be nothing. We'll be barren. There'll be no spark, no glimmer, no life in it. Either one of us. There'll be nothing to suck dry. Ingenious. All right, Cindy, I don't know what Cindy's problem is.
Cindy sounds fine.
That's
Cindy is
right.
17. She's hiking around guys because she's never had an intimate relationship with a guy.
Fine.
And so she gets a lot of that. She'll find some romantic relationship, too. That's probably a little scarier for her, but she'll get there.
Jeanette?
Hello?
You're 17.
Yeah. What's up? Boyfriend and I have sex and they don't use protection.
Yeah.
And he pulls out and he comes on my stomach and it's really like watery.
All right.
That's all right.
Fine.
What's your question?
I mean, does that mean that he might have like a low sperm count or is that?
No, it doesn't mean anything.
It doesn't? Like
as long as you guys continue in this behavior, it means you will get pregnant.
Yeah.
Okay.
He produces sperm. You guys aren't using protection. A lot of that comes out before he ejaculates. You will get pregnant.
Okay.
Okay?
Thank you.
Have fun with the kids. And listen, don't come to me for a goddamn penny to raise those little mongrels either. You hear me?
Mm-hmm.
You're on your own.
Use a condom.
Don't do anything. Just get knocked up. Who cares? George?
Hello.
You're 19. What's up?
Yes, I am. I've been shooting heroin with my uncle for the past 3 years.
Perfectly normal, perfectly healthy.
Absolutely.
Well, that's what everyone does with an uncle, huh?
I was diagnosed with HIV a week ago.
Great.
And I'm really not sure how I got it.
What do you mean?
I mean, I don't know if it was from my uncle or from someone else or from something else.
Is he the only one that you share with?
No.
Okay, so.
No, I don't share needles. I don't share needles with my uncle.
You don't?
No, I don't.
Where do you get your needles from?
Where do I get my needles from? From my uncle. But I don't share them with him. So how could they be contaminated with HIV?
Where does he get them from?
I don't know. What Havana? I have no idea.
What kind of... Do you take them out of a wrapper?
Yeah, I take them out... No, he takes them out of a wrapper, and then he hands them to me.
Filled
with the stuff. You know, he loads it for me.
So you have no idea where it's coming from.
I don't know.
Yeah, but the point is, do you see him pull the syringe out of the wrapper?
I lay back on the couch. We're in his basement. I lay back on the couch and I look at the ceiling. I don't watch him, what he does, you know?
Okay.
I mean, that's his business. It's not mine.
Hold on a second. You think he's full of crap?
Oh, yes.
Yeah?
Oh, yes.
Why?
I've dealt with a million heroin addicts. No one's ever given me that nonsense.
Really?
Take it back, yeah.
All right. You don't believe George?
Not for a second.
Huh?
So that was all bogus.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
You think so?
Oh, yeah.
Where are you going? Where are you? Come on.
Well, wait till
hey. All right. George, get back here.
He hung up. He was just goofing.
All right, are you sure?
Yeah,
I'm going to put him back on.
All right.
Once we reset.
He won't cuss. I want to talk to him. Listen, I want to kick this guy's ass. I really do.
Yeah, we'll just give it a second.
All right. I'm going to get him back on the phone.
Go ahead, take another call for a second.
Well, if we talk less, it resets quicker, though, huh?
Does it reset quicker if we talk less? We're talking about the
delay.
And you know how that works?
Where is that? Yeah.
Okay. Hey, George?
I'm not lying to you guys.
All right.
That makes you so much better.
All right, hold on. George, what city are you calling from?
I'm calling from...
Oh,
that's not.
Yeah, I feel bad.
Tell him to stay on. I'll talk to him off the air. If he can't, he can't maintain even for a few seconds on the air.
Hey, Dave.
Good.
Hey, you're 17. What's up?
Awesome.
Yeah, I really want to kick his ass. I really do. I really do. I don't know why. Why?
He was cool. What's up, guys?
Hey, Dave, what do you want? You're 17.
Yeah, I was wondering, I had anal sex with my girlfriend for the first time tonight.
All right.
And I was wondering if anything bad might happen to her, like to her anus, to her butt. Like, you know, I've heard stories, so.
What stories have you heard?
Like they can't hold it in, you know?
Yeah,
stuff like that, you know.
That could happen.
Was she in any pain? Did she seem to be traumatized?
No, she seemed fine.
All right.
That's an area that you can cause that already gets a lot of pathology, carbuncles and fistulas and the hemorrhoids. And you can sort of stimulate that to a certain extent.
Right. Well, I probably shouldn't make a habit of it then.
No.
You know.
Not for you either. Did you wear a condom?
No.
All right. Yeah, wear a condom. Otherwise, you pack your penis with dookie.
All right.
All right, there, Dave. All right. There to take a little break. Anyone talk to George off the air? Find out?
Yeah, I'm going to try to see
if he's still cussing.
Well, if there's something really going on with him, I'll help him.
Listen, if there's not, tell him I want to kick his ass.
You bet.
I'll talk to him. Okay, after this.
KBNZ Cambridge, KBNZ Eden Prairie. This is Zone 105.
Yep. Yep. It is Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That is Dr. Drew over there. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. And let's hop back on the phones. I got to take this one, Drew. I know you didn't pick this, but look at this. Jason?
Yeah.
You're 23. What's up?
Well, I just got a question for Dr. Drew.
Yeah?
I don't exactly believe this because it sounds funny to me.
And by the way, that guy George turned out to be a total BSer.
The guy said he was a junkie.
Oh, please.
His uncle.
Oh.
Well, he could have been high.
Yeah, he had that quality about him, but then he was just jacking off. Ridiculous.
All right.
Okay. My girlfriend told me that she can't have babies because apparently when she was 14 years of age, she had sex with this guy whose penis was too big for her, and I guess it, like, damaged her cervix or something like that, and now she can't have babies because of it. Is this possible?
No.
No.
There's a ton missing from this story.
It's a lovely story to share with your partner, though.
Uh-huh.
Well, there's a lot more missing. A lot more missing.
And that's what I figured, and she won't give me any more information on this, and I'm just going on what she said.
How do you know she can't have babies?
Because she told me that she can, because we've been going out for a long time, and I would like to settle down and, you know, have a family and that, but she's telling me that she can't because of this problem.
What's the matter with the cervix?
She won't say. She just said it was damaged because when she was 14, she had sex with a partner who was apparently too big for her.
Ridiculous.
That's what I thought.
Now, what about this? What if she was 10 and she was raped?
That's
or
right.
Either
that she was real young and was raped and has all kinds of issues left over from that, or was sex.
But what about physical damage?
We hear about little kids all the time getting this. And
yeah.
That. But what she could have gotten is an infection.
Uh-huh.
He could have delivered God knows what into her, and that can affect fertility for sure. But it has nothing to do with size of the penis.
Okay.
All right. Jason?
Okay. Uh-huh.
You may want to... how long have you been dating her?
Oh, almost about a year now.
Yeah. You got to open up some dialogue.
Huh.
That's nonsense.
Right.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Do you think that she might have something... She couldn't have any kind of sexual disease, otherwise I would have it, and I would know about it.
Well, no, she may have had something that scarred her tubes, something like that.
Oh, man. I remember when my tubes first got scarred.
Yeah.
And, hey, listen, ladies, don't tell your current boyfriends about your ex-boyfriend's huge penis doing damage to you. That is just that's got to be the worst goddamn story. They would really, I'll tell you, here's the, let me give you a male's reaction to two stories. When I was 13, I was in camp. I killed six other campers and buried them underneath the cottage we all stayed at.
That's
weird.
Yeah.
My boyfriend has such a huge schlong that he scrambled my anus.
Oh, come on. Oh, no.
Tell me that may be a deal breaker. Yeah. The other part I was willing. I mean, it was a good 4 years ago. I could get over that, but not this.
I think about it constantly.
Yeah, I'm obsessed with it now. Melissa?
Yeah?
You're 18?
Yeah.
What's up?
My boyfriend and me have been going out for like a year. I've known him for 4 years and everything. And like when we have sex, sometimes it hurts really, really bad. So I can't orgasm at all.
Yeah.
Like, where's the pain?
Like in my stomach and like down lower.
When were you last seen by a doctor?
I just went to the doctor a week ago and like they said nothing was wrong with
me.
Did you
tell them about these symptoms?
Yeah, and they said that nothing seems wrong, but it does. It hurts like a lot
during sex.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And are you lubricated okay?
Not really, but
that's part of the problem.
Like we'll fix it and like it still hurts. And
is it, will fix it? Do you use lubricants?
Like, well, yeah, we'll lube it up or whatever, and like, but it still hurts a lot.
Yeah. Is it with deep penetration you have a problem?
What?
Is it sort of a deep penetration that you have pain, or just all the time?
Like, sometimes, not all the time, but like when we first start, it'll hurt a lot, and then it won't, and then it will, and like I'll have to stop.
I see. Hey, Melissa?
Yeah?
With the deep penetration, is there more pain?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Did you ever get the feeling our callers have their answer predetermined before
yeah.
you asked your question?
Oh, yeah.
And that was the answer you were going to get regardless of what your question was?
Yeah.
Okay.
And is there any no history of a tip uterus, pelvic infections, anything like
no,
that?
No, nothing.
Yeah. Are you freaked out by sex?
No.
Anything bad ever happen to you?
Not really, no. Like,
no?
I don't want to.
No one ever made you do anything you didn't want to do?
No.
Okay.
I don't get that from her.
All right. Well, I'm just wondering if she's tightening up a little tense.
Yeah,
something.
Usually that's right at penetration and not so much the deep penetration during sex. But listen, a pelvic ultrasound I would think would be appropriate.
Really?
You have to go a little further with this, yeah.
Yeah. All right. I may grab one of those tomorrow, too. Tricia?
Yes.
You're 25.
Basically, my problem is, well, I don't want to get pregnant right now, but the problem is that we do the rhythm method,
yeah.
and we also do withdrawal. We never use condoms since the day that we got together.
You do rhythm, and what else do you do?
Withdrawal.
Okay. And I'm married, right? We're married. We've been married for a year and 2 months, and we've been sexually active for like two years, and I have not gotten pregnant. And that's the weirdest thing. And
well, how exact is your rhythm method?
Yeah.
I'm very regular.
Well, you may be one of these people for whom the rhythm method works.
It does. I mean, it's not like I want to get pregnant, but if I do, it would be great.
Well, do you know when you're ovulating?
Wait a minute.
Yeah, I do.
You do?
It's like the mucus down there, it gets really sticky. And
well, you can really tell.
Yeah.
If you want to get pregnant, why don't you have intercourse and not withdraw within the day of ovulation?
Because right now it's not good.
Okay, hold on, Trisha.
Cool.
What is her question?
I don't know.
Yeah, is it because my husband is not able to give me?
Trisha, you're practicing a form of birth control.
Hold on. Earth to Tardo.
It's not
Earth,
a good one.
Earth to Tardo.
Not a good one, but it's a way to not get pregnant for a while.
Yeah.
And you've managed to succeed.
Right.
If you want to get pregnant,
you know when you're ovulating and you don't have sex during that period, right?
No, I still do. I do just the withdrawal.
You do the withdrawal.
Mm-hmm.
I see.
I'm ovulating. I don't do the withdrawal.
Yes. Okay. But if you want to get pregnant, then when you're ovulating, you don't withdraw.
But he won't. You see what I'm saying?
Okay. Well,
no. He won't. He doesn't want to.
Hey, Tricia.
Yeah?
You ever get hit in the head with a flathead shovel?
No.
Never?
No.
You never fell off a motorcycle or a moped and landed on a rock or anything?
When I was a baby, I fell.
You did fall?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was smelling a little trauma to the head. Are you not right?
Well, I don't know. People tell me I'm kind of slow.
Yeah, okay. Well, that's true.
Yeah.
Okay, Tricia, you definitely saw. Okay, because you're calling us asking us a non-question question.
Well, is it that we're not able to have children?
No, you will have children.
When ejaculates in you during the time of ovulation.
That's how God planned it, okay?
That's why I don't
have within a day. Within 24 hours, you're in.
Okay?
Okay.
Hey, Patricia?
Uh-huh.
When you have a child and you put them in the car seat, and then you put the car seat up on the roof of the car to clear out some space in the back seat.
I've done that with my dog.
Right. Do not drive with the child on the roof of the car. I know you've done that with your dog.
I have.
Okay. Kids, I give the kid 13 to 28 months before she suffocates and mistakenly somehow. He rolls over on him while she's asleep, drives a quarter mile with him on the roof of the car before he falls off and gets hit by a street sweeper.
Oh, my God.
I don't give him too much time. I really don't.
Wow.
She's going to, put the diaper on his head instead of his ass and suffocate the kid. Something's going to happen. Okay. All right. Well, that's just Darwinism right there. John?
Yeah?
You're 23. What's up?
Not much. How are you guys doing?
Good.
All right. Well, the question I got is that, like, me and my girlfriend, we make out a lot, you know, just kind of getting into it. We never, like, have gone all the way to have sex or anything, but we've been done some heavy make out session. And
how long have you two been going out?
About 3 months.
Yeah. How old is she?
She's 23.
Wow. Are you both virgins?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's nice. Wow.
Yeah, we're engaged. We're about to get married here in a few weeks.
Great.
And so, basically, the question was that we make out, and she has an orgasm very quickly. Like, I just barely, you know, like, after, you know, 5-10 minutes of heavy making out, she you know, has an orgasm really quickly. I was wondering if that's normal at all, or if that's, like, you know, something to look forward to.
Superhuman.
Yeah, that's good. It's good for you, too, John. Makes you feel like a man. For me, it's like cracking a goddamn steak or something with a woman. It really is. Sweat coming off the brow. Got that music in the background. Dogs barking. Lights flashing. I'm filing my nails. Cracking in. I got my head. I got the stethoscope in. I'm
it's not a 5-minute endeavor.
No. Yeah, I mean, nothing. Yeah. It's not like I just walk up to it and
break into the building.
And Jimmy the lock downstairs. I throw the grappling hook up to the second floor window.
Is your orgasm just when they're making out?
Yeah. What?
So you haven't touched her or anything?
Let me see. John?
Yeah.
Are your fingers down?
No.
She's just making out.
Yeah, well, just, like, right above, like, right on her waist, you know. I don't touch her, just, like, right on her pubic bone.
There's rubber a little down there.
Yeah.
Yeah, that could happen.
Sure. Yeah, not where I, you know, actually touch her anywhere, but just, you know, get close. That's about it.
Yeah, okay. There's a certain percentage of women that really react to a little friction down there. Just sort of the right, you know, get a little right rhythm going with the friction. As a matter of fact, I think... What do you think of this, Drew? I think a lot of women, more than, let's say, pants off, direct, let's say, clitoral stimulation, react even better to sort of pants on, sort of rhythmic rub. You know, like a cat on one of those scratching poles. You know, where they can sort of, it's like, it's not overly stimulating, it's not overwhelming. They can kind of create their own pace with it a little bit.
All right.
Yeah. What's wrong with that?
Yeah.
Antonio?
Yeah.
You're 25. What's up?
I am 25, Adam. How do you do?
Good.
How are you, Dr. Drew?
Good.
We're all great.
Check it out. My grandfather, he drank a lot. And he went crazy. He had delirium tremens or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and that's from my mom's side of the family. And on my dad's side, my aunt became all into God, and she became a Jehovah's Witness.
Yeah.
And she, like, left her, like, she was, like, pretty well off and everything. She's, like, her family, her husband, everything, used to go to the hills and you know, talk to people about God or whatever. Now, my problem is this. I was atheist before. I used to, you know, not believe in God and whatever. But one day I woke up, and I'm just so much into God now. It's, like, not even funny, and I am worried because... Whenever I talk about God, like, people get like this, like, you know, this guy's going cuckoo. Plus, I always felt that that at some point in my life I'm gonna get incarcerated in a loony place.
Oh really, loony place?
Yeah, like my mom told me a couple times that are you, you know, if I'm going out for something.
Are you doing speed?
I'm very eccentric.
Are you doing speed?
I'm a musician.
Antonio, you doing speed?
Yeah. What kind of?
Love line reenactment there. I found Jesus Christ. People think I'm going to be thrown in a loony bin.
Antonio, are you doing speed?
I play the bass fiddle.
Are you doing speed?
I'm very eccentric.
Are you doing speed?
My mother has accused me of being a male prostitute.
Are you on speed?
Oh, yes. How did Drew magically know Antonio was on speed? Hey, Antonio.
What's up?
This is a typical amphetamine psychosis. You probably also believe that your family and friends are thinking stuff about you.
I get paranoid, but I don't deal with my paranoia. You know,
Antonio, it's all speed addiction, whole thing.
Okay, another thing.
Except for that, let's go on.
I have insomnia.
Yeah, you're on speed, Antonio. This is all amphetamine addiction. You only have to do it three times a week to get addicted at this point. And you will not sleep. You'll not sleep for a long time to come, as a matter of fact.
What about before that? When I was a kid, I couldn't sleep, and I was terrified of aliens. I don't know why, okay? And I remember, like, crying many times, and my parents, you know, used, like, trying to get me to sleep, and ever since...
The aliens are the chupacabra.
Aliens and Smurfs.
Smurfs?
The Smurfs, yeah.
What's your nationality?
I am Mexican. I came from Mexico about 10 years ago.
I see.
Yeah, and
but wait a minute, you're not Mexican, even though you're from Mexico. You're Latino American.
My family's half Spanish, and they went to Mexico, and that's where they stayed. And we came here.
Hey, okay. Listen, stop doing the speed, and then call us back, okay?
In 3 months. That's a long time to settle that down. He's got to get treated.
Yeah.
That will not stop.
You know what I just thought about?
Mm.
You know how, like, I know we've gotten into this before, but, like, you know, you're from Germany, you're German, and you're from, Sweden, you're Swedish. Japan, you're Japanese. But if you're Mexico, you're not Mexican. It's considered, like, insulting to call you Mexican.
I don't think, is it?
Yeah, you gotta be, like, Mexican-American, or you're Latin-American, or you're Latino.
Is that true?
Oh, yeah. You can't call people Mexicans.
Really?
Yeah.
Hmm.
Do you know why?
Well, if they're Americans, you don't call them Mexicans. That's the thing.
No,
they're from Mexico. They're Mexican.
Yeah, you still gotta call them something else if they come over here.
I guess you don't say French-Americans.
No, you don't say French. You can't say Mexican. And here's why you can't say Mexican. Mexico's a dump. That's what they don't say. Because you can call a guy from Germany a German. You call a guy from France a French. But you can't call Mexican Mexican.
You been down there lately? Yeah, you stayed at that nice mansion in Puerto Vallarta.
Yeah, it was nice.
Yeah.
They got enough money to throw around. But listen, I mean, come on, that place is, you know, they're trying to enact the daylight savings over there, and half the people aren't buying it. They think it's a government plot. I mean, come on. Please. Andy?
Yeah.
You're 17.
Yeah.
What's up?
Tonight, terrible for you guys. Everybody calls a freaking moron.
Well, let's keep our string alive.
Yep. about every Sunday night, like before I go back to school, I can't get to sleep, and, like, I have anxiety attacks and everything. I've been diagnosed with mild anxiety, and I have panic attacks and everything.
Right.
And I just can't get to sleep, and I'm, like, really anxious. And sometimes, whenever I have a panic attack, it usually occurs on a Sunday night. And I want to know if, like, Valium or anything could help that. I mean, I've been put on Depakote and Effexor for bipolar depression and everything. And
are you on Effexor now?
Yes.
Could that be causing your panic attacks? I mean, Effexor can cause panic. Maybe it's just the Effexor.
No, it happened before I was on it, and it's been about the same, and I thought that, like, one or the other could decrease them.
Why don't they use something that specifically works on panic, like Paxil?
I don't know. He hasn't. He thought that the other drugs would do it for me.
Well, why don't you go back and work on it? Because if you're on medication anyway for bipolar illness, they should be able to find a combination that's appropriate that will also control panic. But I'll tell you what, Sunday night is a typical time people get depressed.
I used to get depressed every Sunday night.
Yeah, me too.
Every time. Yeah. I always hated school. I never did my homework. It was always time to pay the fiddler Monday morning when I showed up empty-handed. That was A number one. And then that spilled right on into construction, which I hated with an equal passion, and the notion of getting up Monday morning for a good long hot day of no pay and some hole somewhere was equally depressing. I don't have it anymore. I haven't had it for like 4 or 5 years, the Sunday night depression, because I've been doing what I want to do.
See, well, you were here on Sunday nights.
That's right.
I've been doing this for like 20 years. Like, I can't get depressed on Sunday
nights. But I think I had, I mean, from the age, you know, first grade, you know, 6 or 7 years old, until I was about 30.
Yeah, me too.
Sunday night blues.
Yeah. So, awful, awful.
Yeah, I mean, I was
like, no, you know what? It was like dread.
Dread.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was the feeling.
20-something years of just sheer pain on a Sunday night. Vanessa?
Yes.
Plus, they used to run that god-awful Mutual of Omaha Wild Kingdom Sunday night, too, which was painful to watch.
And then Disney.
Marlon Perkins up in some tree somewhere looking at a giraffe. Vanessa?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, Disney and Mutual of Omaha's Wild Kingdom. You're 19. What's up?
Well, I noticed that I'm like 2 months pregnant, and I want to know if I can have an abortion. Is it too late to have an abortion?
It's never too late to have an abortion.
Not
even
after the child is born.
I think you're well within the range right now, but if something you're intending to do, you've got to talk to somebody about it.
Oh, okay.
Okay. All right, Vanessa.
All right.
You get on that tomorrow, right?
Yes, I am.
All right, sweet pea.
Okay.
Take care of yourself.
All right, thank you.
All right, don't worry, that child wasn't going to be president. Don't you worry about it. Yeah, what are the odds? You know what I'm saying? Listen, I was out at Lake Havasu this weekend. We could do with a lot less people. We really could.
Woo-hoo!
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Elaine?
Yes.
You're 22.
Yes.
What's up?
My boyfriend just relapsed on coke yesterday.
Yeah.
And he had been sober for 2.5 years. And we're living together. And we've been together for over a year. And I just don't know what to do. I don't know if he's going to keep using. Should I leave him?
All right. We got to take a little break.
Okay.
But don't worry. Is he out of the house? Is he back?
He's at work right now. We're still together, like in the house together.
Okay. As far as you know.
Yeah.
Hold on a second, Elaine. Okay. I'm going to take a break. We'll tell you what to do with the boyfriend who's relapsed on the coke after this. Loveline, I'm Adam Carolla, that is Dr. Drew. When we left off, we're speaking to Elaine, his 22 boyfriend, was sober for, I think, 2.5 years, and now he just went off with the coke. Elaine, how'd you find out he went off?
Well, he came home and he told me.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
Is he going to try to stop again?
Did I try stopping?
Is he going to try to stop again?
Well, yeah, that's what he says. And I don't know. It's hard for me to believe. I'm really insecure about this. I feel really insecure.
Why did he come home and tell you?
Because I think he has, he was sober for 2.5 years. He was clean for 2.5 years, and he wanted to. And the part of what is so I don't understand is that his drug was really speed. He used to...
Stimulants are stimulants. And
yeah, well, he used to inject speed, and so...
How was his recovery going before he relapsed? Was he going to meetings regularly? Did he have time?
No.
Okay,
he's
so...
Doing
all right, so he's...
I still want to know why he told you. Did he show... Was he missing for a day?
He's normally home at this time, actually, which is making me really nervous. I didn't realize how late it was. Yeah, he usually comes home about 11:30 or so.
Okay, well, hold on. Was he missing for... Okay.
No. Well, like I said, he usually comes home at this time, and he didn't even, come home until, 4. So was he missing a whole day? No.
No, but the point is he came home at 4 and told you, here's what happened, because he came home at 4. He didn't come home at the usual time and volunteer it to you.
Elaine, as usual, the drug...
Making sure I still know human nature.
The drug use is well down the sort of equation on a relapse. The fact that he wasn't going to meetings, sort of getting back in his old patterns, that was the relapse already. The drug use is just sort of the final straw and all that.
Yeah.
You must go to Al-Anon. He must go to program. This ain't going to work otherwise.
All right. You go to Al-Anon.
Yeah. You can't control him. You can't nag him. You can't do anything. You can go to Al-Anon. And you can leave. And they clear you're going to leave if he doesn't do something with his end of the bargain.
Listen, everybody, consequences. Let me tell you something real fast. Consequences, huge.
It's everything.
Huge.
Well, you can talk all day.
True?
Yeah.
Remember we had the world's worst picture of us floating around for many, many years, many years, and I begged your publicist, and I begged Stone Stanley, the producers of the TV show, and I begged our management, Howard Lapidus, for years to do something about it, and all those folks were I don't want to use the word impotent, but obviously they had no interest in doing things they weren't getting a percentage of or getting paid, and no one did anything. And I yelled at everyone for years. And literally, a couple of years. They never would do anything. Never anything. Until one day, when I've been begging for them to get rid of the picture that we have on Talk Soup, which is about 5 years old, the one that looks like Drew's a retard and I'm some sort of a Macy's Day float. I finally saw that thing, and I almost it went nuts, and I said to everybody, here is the deal. Either that goddamn picture goes away, or I don't come in to work. And if I see it again, I'm not coming in. And that's it. And I'm going somewhere. And I'm not answering the phone. So if you don't see me, you'll know where I am, and you'll know whose fault it is. I'm not going to take talk soup, and I'm not going to go out of my way to look for it. But if I spot it again, if I run across it, I will not show up for work, and I'm not phoning anybody. I won't do it. And if you want to fire me, kiss my ass. I could care less. But I swear to Christ I will not be there. What happened? Magically, the next day or so, it was taken care of. Magically. And what happened here on Loveline when we begged Westwood 2, the cheap bastards that they are, to provide a security guard for us? We begged them for years. They did nothing. Pay some idiot $7 an hour to fall asleep on the sofa out front for 2 hours a night. They couldn't pony that money up. Well, we got a bunch of death threats over at the TV show, and I said, listen, here's the deal. If I pull up to this dung heap you call a radio station, and I don't see a guy falling asleep out front with a can of mace strapped to his leg, I will not get out of my car. I will continue driving. I will go home, and I will unplug the phone, and that will be that. So if you don't want to get a guard, fine. If you don't want to change the picture at Talk Soup, fine. But I'm going to keep driving. And magically, people do things. Unfortunately, it's unfortunate when you have to threaten people you work with to do their goddamn job. But that's the nature of the beast, Drew, and that's how people work. And believe me, that's how it gets done. And it works the same with everything.
Okay.
Your boyfriend thinks you're leaving him. You're going Al-Anon. You're not standing for his crap. You're kicking him out. It gets done.
The problem for codependents is they have to meet it and they have to be willing to fall through on it.
That's right. That's right. The good news about me is I think people know I'm ready to follow through.
Yeah, they know you don't want to be here in the first place.
That's the ultimate trump card.
No, they've been trying to keep you.
I'm looking for an excuse, yeah. Max? Oh, I'm sorry. Shannon?
Yeah?
You're 17.
Yeah.
What's up?
See, here's the thing. Me and my boyfriend, well, first of all, for the first time last weekend, I let him perform anal sex, but I was fine with that. That didn't seem so bad.
Mm-hmm.
But the sex, you know, fine after that was. But when we went back to having, I guess you would say, regular intercourse, we used a condom, which we never do.
Oh, like, God forbid.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry.
No, I wasn't saying, but I'm just emphasizing that we never do it. And we did it for the first time last Saturday, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And the next morning I was kind of sore, I guess. And we went back, and like 5 minutes later, after we woke up, we were having sex again. And when he first went, it was really sore. And after we were doing it, I was pretty awry. I could feel a little pain, but it didn't bother me that much. But then it was bleeding, and the rest of the day I could barely walk. It was just really sore, and I was bleeding. It was just terrible, and I wouldn't know if this had any like connection to the condom.
Well, where was the bleeding coming from? You guys, as though the lips were so chapped that you actually bled, or was the bleeding from inside?
The bleeding was from inside.
Hmm. And was there a lot of extra friction with the condom?
No, not that I noticed. I mean, I was sore in the morning, but no, not really. It didn't even bother.
What's this have to do with the anal sex?
I was just saying, I don't know if they're like, if that's connected or if it's from the condom or what it's all about.
Why am I so confused?
She had anal sex,
yeah.
And then was it the next day you had the vaginal sex?
No, yeah. We had them both in the same night.
Oh, the same night.
Yeah.
And he put the condom on for the vaginal sex, which he rarely uses.
Yeah.
And then she seemed sore and to the point of maybe bleeding.
Yeah.
Having bleeding during and after sex is not an uncommon thing. The uterus can be stimulated to bleed. And if somehow you became dry and there was a certain amount of friction, you can cause chafing to the point of some little bit of bleeding.
Well, listen, that whole area has been traumatized. I mean, it's just a war zone over there.
Yeah.
You go with the anal, then you go with the vaginal, you're banging around. I mean, you know. All bets are off. There's been a lot of abuse going on down there. All right, let's speak to young Max. Yeah.
Yeah.
Max is 20. What's up?
Well, I got this girl that I like, but she's still in high school, and mm-hmm. my friends don't approve of me wanting to date her.
Uh-huh.
Can you understand why they wouldn't?
Yeah, well, I understand that, yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
What grade is she in?
She's
She's 11th.
11th grade?
Yeah.
All right. She's 16 years old?
Yeah.
16.
Yeah, she's 16, and I'm 20.
Not a good spread there.
No, it's not.
She going to be 17 soon?
I think she's 17 in June.
17 in June.
Yeah, and I'm this kind of stuff's on my mind because I just watched the movie Jailbait today, and this is stuff happens when people engage in those sorts of relationships. And it's there to protect the young person, these laws.
Yeah.
And you should pay attention to them. There's a reason for it. There's also a reason your friends don't like it. It's a reason we don't trust it.
Yeah.
It's not good for the young person.
All right. So, Max?
Yeah.
He really shouldn't get down to high school.
But I've, like, known her for, you know, at least 6 years, and we've been good friends. And
yeah, even worse.
She was 10. She was 10.
No. Well, I know. It's just, but we've known each other for a while, and...
Yeah, it's like a sister now.
No, not like that.
Yeah, well, listen, I've known my sister for quite some time, and Drew, you've known your sister. I'd like to know Drew's sister a little better. The point is who cares that you've known her for a long time? I'm with Drew. It makes it worse.
Yeah.
And what the hell? What do you mean you guys are great friends? You're 14. She's 10. What the hell are you talking about?
Well, we knew each other since then.
Okay.
It makes it worse.
Hey, listen, Max.
Yeah.
I know you're desperate, but you have to find someone your own age.
It's not because I'm desperate.
Of course it is.
Yeah, it is. Listen, if you found a hottie who was 19, you'd shut the hell up.
Then tell me where to find them.
Well, there you go. There you go. Yeah. You got to go somewhere other than junior college.
Yeah, do not prey upon the vulnerable just because you can't maintain within your own peer bracket.
Well, nice. Peer bracket. And let me explain something. There's a lot of guys out there who have a lot of difficulty with women. A lot of guys.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of women that have a lot of difficulty with men. And when they do find that one guy or that one girl that's interested, hey, that's a big deal.
Yeah.
For women, it's like, sure, the guy's a two-time loser and he's in the joint right now, but he loves me.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's writing me letters. He likes me.
Mm-hmm.
Or, sure, he's married and has a couple of kids, but he's showing me affection. He's showing me attention. I mean, when you don't get stuff, you miss it, and you want it, and you ain't going to let stuff go just because the person's married, just because they're in jail, just because they're a few years younger than I am, and there's a little jailbait
situation. The man getting away.
When you're desperate, I mean, look at it this way.
But you'll dream up excuses like that.
Why is it that beautiful, intelligent women never date guys who are in prison? You know what I mean? Don't have to. Plenty of guys coming after them. You never look at it that way. People hate to look at love that way because it's so pathetic. That look of, hey, that's the only person I could get.
Mm.
And maybe you learn to love them, but that is the only person you can get. Max is not scoring with every 19 and 20-year-old in his neighborhood, and he's got a 16-year-old who likes him. What's he going to do? Throw that away? How often does someone like Max? You think he's going to squander this one?
Mm.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Absolutely.
All right, we're going to take a little break. When we come back, we'll speak to Lisa. Antidepressants make her unable to orgasm. No, come on. Who else do we want to talk to? Huh? Girlfriend wants to have sex, but he thinks it's a big deal. Huh? Smoked pot for a year, but stopped. Friend got mad at him for sticking up for her when he was harassed at school.
Mm-hmm.
Huh?
See? We'll see what I pick.
Yeah.
This one I picked has the word orgasm in it.
All right. We'll take the orgasm call after this.